quiet. It got quiet. Everybody's like, I said hi to everybody I wanted to say hi to. Now we're good. All right. Get this situated. Right. Well, good morning. Welcome, welcome to Grace Bible Church. If you don't know me, my name is Zach. I'm one of the pastors here. And Pastor John and Pastor Eddie and the Asato clan is in Michigan right now. They're probably watching. If it would say hi. They're spying on us as they are far away. I'm joking. But they just attended Pastor John's niece's wedding. They just had the wedding this weekend. So congratulations to you guys. And we, oh, good stuff. You enjoy worship? Anybody? I love worship. It's so good. Man, just kind of still. You know, I've never done drugs, okay? Just say that. But I can liken it to just kind of a whimsical feeling. You know what I mean? I guess, maybe. If you've done drugs, maybe. It's like, I ain't telling that. But I just have this, just a lightness right now. And it's so good. And my mind's a little fuzzy just because I was just in the presence of God. So, oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. So good. These past few weeks, we've been going over what? The Feast of Israel, right? And we've gone over how many, do you know? Roughly? Four-ish. Kind of there. Right where we're at, we're around the fifth feast. Okay? So we talked about Passover, which was fulfilled in Jesus' death. We talked about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was fulfilled in Jesus' life, being the sinless life that was offered up. The first fruits, the Feast of First Fruits, which was fulfilled in Jesus' resurrection, as well as the resurrection of all the saints that when he died, that rose from the dead. And then Pentecost, which was fulfilled in Acts, in the upper room, when the Holy Spirit came and fell upon the disciples that were there. And then they began to preach boldly, and the church began to explode. Then last week, we talked a little bit about the Feast of Trumpets, which has not really been fulfilled yet, but what it does is it ushers in the fall feasts, and it ushers in the Feast of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles. And we can suspect that the Feast of Trumpets is going to usher in the return of Jesus. Amen? And it's so good. This week, we're going to take a little bit of a break from talking about the feast because we still have Atonement, Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles to talk about. But we're not going to talk about that today. We're going to be talking about Matthew 24 and 25, which is related to the end times. And in 24, we have the disciples. They go and they ask Jesus about what it is that they should look for or when he's going to return. When is this time going to end? And then he goes on, he begins to tell them, and we're going to go through that. And then chapter 25 has three parables, and very good and powerful parables that Jesus shares with his disciples about the 10 virgins, the faithful and unfaithful servant, and the sheep and the goats. And we're going to unpack that a little bit today. And so this message I'm calling Holy Preppers. Holy Preppers, not Doomsday Preppers. If any of you like to watch Doomsday Preppers on TV, just me, cool, let's go. I enjoyed that. It was a super fun show to watch. I like seeing everybody's different bunkers and how they're preparing for the apocalypse, how they were canning or freeze-drying food, whatever it may be. But I really enjoyed that. But we're not talking about a physical prepping that we can do. Okay, we're not talking about canned goods and dehydrated food and all of that. But we're talking about a holy preparation, a spiritual readiness that we can have and we can prepare for the final chapter that is about to unfold within history. So if we could start off, we're going to read 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11. It says, where is it? Is it up there? You can pull it up. 1 Thessalonians 5, so everybody can follow along. There you go. So now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do. Let us keep awake and be sober. For those who are asleep sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put upon the breastplate of faith and love, and for our helmet, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for sharing with us the times and the seasons that we can be aware of so that we can prepare ourselves for your coming. Lord, help us in this time to receive from you, to open up our hearts so that you may speak to us and encourage us in this time and in this day of age. God, as we see some of these things coming to pass, that you will prepare our hearts and help us to have the discipline to prepare us for when you come. And we are looking forward to when you come. So God, we thank you and we praise you for this time. Holy Spirit, have your way in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So Paul says that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. But we, as children of the light, or as Christians, people who love Jesus and follow after his ways, that we can be prepared for Jesus' sneaky return. There are those that don't believe. They don't trust in Jesus. Okay? Those are the ones that are sleeping. The ones that are not prepared for when he comes. There's a second group of people that are sleeping. A second group, and those are the other believers. That there are going to be believers who are not prepared, who are going to be asleep. And God is calling us to wake up, to not be asleep, to stay sober-minded so that we can be prepared. Amen? So in verses 9 to 11, There are three things that I feel like we can really gain from this. Understandings. And the first thing is that we, the church, are not destined for wrath. Not the wrath and judgment. It's not the final just destination. But salvation in Jesus, that is the final destination. In verse 9, it says, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 10, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. This is really encouraging, okay? Because sometimes we can try our best to stay awake, but then we end up falling asleep, right? If you try to read the Bible at night, and you get through about 5 verses, and then... Anyone? Just me. Okay. Anyone like me? Man, the reading sometimes just puts me to sleep. But there are going to be people who are going to fall asleep. Now, I'm super encouraged by this because it's not like a merit-based thing, amen? Right? It's not based on what we can do or how much we prepare or how much we're awake. What is the bottom line? What matters here? It's our faith in Jesus. It's what Jesus did on the cross for us. That's what matters. All the extra stuff, it's an outpour of the response. It's the response that we have towards what Jesus has done for us. Amen? Bottom line, Jesus came and died for you and died for me so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It is a faith-based salvation, not a works-based. Amen? But does it mean that we should not work? No. God also calls us to works, to live out our salvation, to respond to what the Word says, and to do what the Word says. The third thing is that it says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing, so that we continue to build and encourage one another. Let's never stop doing that. To be sober, awake, and alert. So what are we preparing for? What are the signs that we should begin to start to prepare our hearts and our minds for Jesus' coming? In Matthew 24, verse 3 to 14, Jesus lays it out. Verse 3 says, as he sat on the Mountain of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of age? And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. And they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and the end will come. And then the end will come. The disciples asked Jesus, when is this going to happen? When are you going to return? And he said, before I return, before the end, these things will happen, that there's going to be false messiahs, people claiming to be Christ, to not be led astray by them. That there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. We know that from Russia and Ukraine, the Middle East, China, the civil wars that are ravaging Africa, even the U.S. getting involved in these wars. There are rumors and wars going on in this day and age right now. Famines and earthquakes. We've seen some of the most destructive earthquakes in history over the past few decades. People starving, not having enough to eat. I mean, shoot, we couldn't get eggs. We couldn't even get eggs. Persecution. There's persecution all around the world. All around the world that is happening to Christians. And even now, like in the West, that there's a suppression of Judeo-Christian values that our nation was built upon, that those values are now being suppressed. There's going to be a great falling away or apostasy, people denying their faith. And that's going to come, and it's going to no longer be a rare thing. It's not going to be, oh my gosh, what did you do? How did you do that? Why would you do that? It's going to be like, oh yeah, okay. There's another one. It's going to be a readily occurring thing that's going to happen. And if you're on social media, there are many Christian artists who have publicly renounced their faith. It's happening now. There's going to be lawlessness within the world. Just a lack of peace. Can we throw that picture up? This is the Global Peace Index. I came across this as I was preparing. But the green is very high levels of peace. and then red is very low levels of peace. And if you look at the world, it seems like there's more orange and red, and yet, Lord, like yellow, orange, red, than there are green. And this is going to increase. Lawlessness. We also have the gospel being proclaimed throughout the whole world. Everybody say amen to that. Amen to that. Let's show this video. So this is after Jesus' death. You see the rise of Christianity in white. The Roman Empire. And then it disappears. So good. Look at how far Christianity has gone into Asia. Amazing. Look at that. We have about 10 years of unaccounted for. And there's still places where the gospel has not reached yet. Verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So how can we be prepared for this final chapter, this ending that Jesus proclaims that is happening, that will happen and will come to pass? Matthew 24, verses 45 and 46 says, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. And we're going to break that down within chapter 25 of Matthew in the three parables. Of the 10 virgins, to be wise, to be faithful, the parable of the talents, and to be generous, the sheep and the goats. So the 10 virgins. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is going to be like 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom. They all had lamps. They were all waiting, and they all fell asleep. The only difference was that 5 of them had extra oil. 5 had extra oil. And then in the middle of the night, while they were sleeping, the bridegroom is announced. Wake up, get ready, the bridegroom is coming. The announcement is here. And they woke up, and it said that they trimmed their lanterns. The 5 wise virgins filled their lanterns back up with oil and lit their lantern again. Now they fell asleep with their lamps burning. And so the 5 that didn't have any extra oil, their oil ran out. And so they went to the 5 wise and they said, hey, give us some of your oil. Just spare some for us. And he said, we can't do that. Yes, he was announced, but we don't know when he's coming. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. I can't give you the oil that I bought. Go now, go into the town and go buy your own oil. And so the five left, and while they left, at some point in time, the bridegroom came and opened up the gates, let the five wise virgins in, and then closed the door. And then the other five came back after buying oil, and they said, "Let us in, let us in," but they were not allowed to come in. We ask ourselves, we should ask ourselves, do I have oil? Because if we're talking about the final chapter in the end, how do we be prepared? How do we have oil? How do we have our lanterns lit when Jesus comes like a thief in the night? Unannounced, or just announced, but as a surprise, how can we be prepared? We have to buy oil. The five virgins who didn't have any oil, they were forced to go buy their own oil, but by that time, it was too late. When we buy oil, what do we mean by oil? It's our intimacy with God. It's our prayer life. It's our worship life. It's our time in the Word with Him. It's us being obedient to Him. Those things cannot transfer to anybody else. It cannot be transferred. And so, therefore, we have to pay a price for those things. We have to pay the price in sleep and in time. Sometimes our pride has to fall. But we pay a price to gain this oil, this intimacy with the Lord. And let me tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it to pay that price. When we prepare, it shouldn't be at the sound of the trumpet. It should be before that, so that we, at the sound, we are ready. Amen? The parable of the talents. Be faithful. So we want to be wise and dig our well deep. That's what Pastor John would tell us when I was in the youth group. He would say, dig your well deep now, because there's going to be a time where you're going to be spiritually dry and you're not going to have the strength. Go deep with God now, so that when you're faced with trials, that there's some water at the well that you can always come back to. How many of you know Mana? Some of you know Mana. He plays bass up on stage. And he's probably watching this. I love you, Mana. I'm going to share a little bit about you. I didn't ask him. That's why. But he had fell off a ladder, and he broke his back. And so he's at home right now in a ton of pain, and he had back surgery, and it's hard for him to move around. And so I texted him. I was like, "Hey, how you doing, man?" And he goes and he tells me, It's hard. It's painful. And I'm going to read you his text to me, because I was very encouraged by this. He said, "Hanging in there. The physical progress is slow. The pain becomes more tolerable as I gain my strength back. Mentally, it's frustrating not being able to move freely. However, everyone's prayers has kept me positive, and reading the Bible reminds me that God is with me and that I live by faith and not by sight." That's the words of a man who has dug his well deep before something has happened. If he hadn't dug his well deep and prepared and bought oil and spent the time and energy in investing in his relationship with God, when things like this happen, it shakes us. It shakes us. So we want to be prepared. Be faithful. The parable of the talents. This is about what the stewardship of what God has given us. God has given us talent, resources, opportunity, assignments, every single one according to our ability. me to invest, and they multiply, they do really well with the stuff. And then one got scared, and he didn't do anything with it, and he just buried it in the ground. And then when the master came back, he said, hey, come here, guys. Let me see what you've done with what I've given you. And the two come back, and they say, hey, this is what I did, and you gave me 5, and now here's 10. And he's like, good, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the peace. And then the other one comes, and he's, you gave me 2, and now I have 4. And he says, well done, come in. And then the last servant comes in, and he goes, I knew you were a hard man. I knew you were a man who reaped where you didn't sow. And I buried it, and here's your what is yours back. And he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing, you wicked servant? If you knew that I was a hard man, if you knew that I reaped where I didn't sow and I sow where I didn't reap, then why didn't you just put it in the bank and let it invest? Do something with it. And it said that servant was cast out. Sometimes the fear in our lives will keep us from investing in the kingdom of God through our talents and what God has given us. The fear stops us from doing. Comparison can sometimes lead, because if you yourself, if I was that guy and I was more like the third servant than the other two, okay? So knowing that kind of mindset, I would look at those guys and say, wow, they're doing really good. I can't do that. And so I don't want to lose it. So I'm just gonna keep it and not do anything with it so that I can just give it back the way that it was. The comparison can lead us to really belittling and suppressing our gifts and what God has done for us. The faithfulness is not, it's not about quantity, like how much God has given us, but it's just about obedience. That are we going to be faithful in what God has given us? Because we will give an account. Everybody will give an account when the master returns. So be wise by buying extra oil and digging our well deep, and we be faithful through the obedience in our lives that is really birthed through a response of what Jesus has already done for us. Amen. The third thing is be generous. Jesus ends this chapter with a picture of final judgments, of nations gathered together with sheep and goats, and they're separated. And then he says this, that I was hungry and I was thirsty and I was a stranger and naked and sick and in prison, and you did something for me. That you gave me something to drink. You fed me. You clothed me. You visited me. And so he said that to the sheep, and he said, here, come in. And then the goats were like, why are we left out? And they said, when have we saw you like this? And he goes on to explain that whenever we saw the least of these and done these things to them, so you've done it to me. When Abraham was called out of the land of Ur, his homeland, he was called out to a place that God would show him. He was promised a few things. He was promised that he was going to become a great nation, that God was going to make him into a great nation, and that through him, the nations of the world will be blessed. Okay? Through him, the nations of the world will be blessed. And I believe that as the church, it is our call to be a blessing to our communities. It is our job and our call to be a blessing to the nations. Just as Abraham was was promised to be a blessing, that we as the church are promised to be a blessing to those around us. And so when we see the brokenhearted, when we see the fatherless, when we see the poor, when we see the needy and the thirsty and the wolves who are in prison, that we as the church have a desire to go and to provide for those people. God has blessed us and given us so much that we have much to give. Amen. The last thing, building your ark. Matthew 24, verses 37 and 39. You can write it down and then go read it. But he starts it off with saying, as it was in the days of Noah, that they were eating and drinking and marrying, and then all of a sudden the flood came. So shall it be like in the final days, that everything's going to be fine, it's going to be merry, it's going to be good, and then all of a sudden, it's not. And we want to be prepared for that. We want to be found wise and faithful and generous in the eyes of the Lord. Amen? Our life is like that ark. That as we invest into it, we begin to build this nice ark that is going to protect us from the floods. It's going to cost us to build. It's going to cost us to buy oil. It's going to cost us to be faithful and obedient and generous. It's going to cost us maybe even our reputation. It's going to look crazy to some people when we choose to fast and pray and spending time in worship and going to small groups instead of going out and going to bars and hanging out at parties and doing all these other things. And we choose to say no to some of those things and yes to the things of God. It's going to look a little crazy at times. That our faithfulness, when we are obedient, that it may look crazy when we put God first above our vocation at times. That we're not caring about our reputation and how people look at us because we care more about their life and their salvation than we do about a paycheck. It's crazy sometimes. It's crazy when we're trying to give and give and give when we don't even have enough for ourselves. Faithful, wise, generous. That's how we can prepare ourselves for the coming of our Lord. When I give you a little bit of a picture, this is because I want to build an ark, okay, of my life. I want to build it for my family. Okay? And I get this picture. It's a little intense. But track with me, okay? I have this picture of my family and I. We're kneeling down, and there's people threatening us. And they're saying, deny Jesus, or your kids are going to die. And I want to invest so much so that I can look over at my kids, show them the shaka, and say, I will see you later. And they die. And they themselves can look at me and say, Dad, I'll see you later. I want to invest so much that my entire family can die knowing that where our final destination is not on this earth. That we are promised something greater after this time. How can I be prepared? How can I invest? How can I invest into my family's life and in my life so that when times like that come, or if times like that, we just went over the tribulation and the rapture, and if you believe that it's gonna, that we're going to be raptured before all of the crazy stuff happens, in the middle of it, or on or after it, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we're prepared for the worst, amen? The doomsday preppers don't know when doomsday is coming, but they're going to prep anyway. We know that Jesus is coming back, and he's going to come back in power, and he's going to come back for his bride. How are we going to prepare for it? If we're not prepared, my kids may not be prepared. We ask ourselves, are we ready? Am I ready? Am I prepared? Am I wise, faithful, and generous? Or am I being a little foolish and unfaithful and indifferent to the world? And let our prayer be, God, help me. Help me to be wise. Help me to be faithful. Help me to be generous. Because the trumpet will sound. The bridegroom will be announced. The master is coming home. Are we going to be ready? Are we going to be ready? Let's take out our communion elements. Father, thank you for sending your son. To die for us. To be the worthy sacrifice for our sin. Because there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And Jesus was the only one, the only sacrifice that was without blemish, that was pure, that was holy enough and righteous enough to fill that position. Your body, Jesus, was beaten and broken for us so that we may experience healing. So whenever we need healing, that we can look to the cross and we can look to you. So we remember your body. We thank you. In Jesus' name, let's partake of the bread. Jesus, your blood was poured out for our forgiveness. That without your blood, there would be no redemption. So we thank you for your blood that has been spilled, that through your blood we have been purchased, that through your blood we have been made new. And we thank you, in Jesus' name, let's partake of the cup. We also want to offer salvation for anybody who has never received Christ as their Lord and Savior before. If that's you this morning and you want Jesus in your life, that when the end comes that you want to be with God for all eternity, if that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer of declaration this morning. And remember what we talked about. We talked about being saved not by works, but by faith. It's all about what we believe and who we believe in. If we believe in Jesus and we trust in Him alone for our salvation, we are saved. And in Corinthians, it talks about that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that He was raised from the dead, that you will be saved. And so we're going to pray a prayer of declaration this morning all together as a church family. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, pray, dear Jesus, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I know that there's nothing that I can do to save myself. I believe that you lived the perfect life, that you died the death in my place, that you rose from the dead, proving that you are the Son of God. And I believe in you, and I receive your salvation. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. I give my life to you. I turn my back on all that the Bible calls sin. And I accept you as my Lord, Master, and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that for the first time, we have a gift for you out in the lobby. Come to our Connect table. We want to give you something. We want to connect with you. We want to pray with you and stand with you if this was your first time. So if you stand to your feet, let's worship the Lord one more time as we close out.
In my hands, purify my heart. I want to burn for you.
Pastor Zach, for the word. We need to prepare our hearts. God is going to equip us in the days ahead. You may be seated. And I just want to say thank you to Justin for leading worship this morning also. Yeah, awesome. Okay, a couple announcements. First of all, if you've never been to what we call a Next Step class, we are going to have it. It's a three-week class designed to help you discover who we are as a church and cast a vision on what it means to connect, serve, and give. And we also, in the class, you'll explore the unique gifts that God has given you. You'll discover it. And so join us. It's going to be starting July 13th, 20, and 27 in the afternoon. More information, sign up in the Connect card in front of you or in Connect card in the lobby. Second thing, what is next week? Ohana Sunday, yes. Every first Sunday, we have Ohana Sunday. It's a potluck. It'll be a special time, a